Thanks for checking out the Awaken Church podcast. Awaken Church messages are brought to you by our generous givers and partners. You can always learn more about the vision or give financially to support the work God is doing here at Awaken by visiting our website, awakenchurch.cc. If you can't make one of our weekly worship services, you can always watch online by going to our website and clicking on the Watch tab. And now, wherever you're joining us from, thanks for listening, and we hope this message encourages you.
Let me just acknowledge that's a weird music video, right? Guess what? It was in the 80s, so got some 80s fans in the room. There are probably going to be some music videos that you and I enjoy from the early 2000s. Give it a couple more years, we're going to look back at them and be like, really? We really like that? That was kind of weird, right? Anyway, my name is Tevin Sims, and I promise the rest of the message is going to get better than that, what was up there. But I get to serve as the Charleston campus pastor here at this location, and we've been in this series called Mixtape, where we've been taking popular songs, artists like Taylor Swift and Morgan Wallen and Post Malone, and looking at some of these songs that we know and hear on the radio, we love, and those messages from those songs. And we've been going to the Bible and seeing what Jesus has to say about those messages. And so the song we are looking at today is Running Up That Hill by Kate Bush. So turn with me to Matthew 18, starting in verse 21. Matthew 18, verse 21, it says this. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for these moments that we have together. And as we open up your word, God, we're looking to hear from you. So I ask that you would use me to communicate your truth and your love, that when we walk out of this place, we'll be different than when we came in. And we ask that you would get all the glory in this place. And in the mighty name of Jesus that I pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. The year was 1985. A gallon of milk cost $2.20. A dozen eggs cost 80 cents. The average price of a gallon of gas was $1.20. Good times, right? Fashion trends were fingerless gloves, shoulder pads, parachute pants, the Jerry curl. What would you guys say if I grew a Jerry curl? What would you think? Juice it up, baby, huh? The mullet was popular in the 80s. Still is. Somebody said, I see you. Hey, looks good on you, too. Member-only jackets were popular. Famous movies like Back to the Future, The Goonies, Rocky IV were released in 1985. There's some guy you may have heard of by the name of Michael Jordan. He had just recently won Rookie of the Year in the NBA. And in that same year, an artist from the UK, Kate Bush, released this song, Running Up That Hill. And in 1985, it was a top song in the UK. It made a little noise here in the US, reaching as high as the top 40 on the Billboard. And the song went away. But after 37 years, last summer, the song was used in a popular show, season 4 of Stranger Things, where the song came back to life. And it took the world by storm, and it became a popular song, topping all the charts across the world, reaching as high as number 3 on the Billboard Top 100 here in the U.S. Even this past summer, that song, it reached 1 billion streams on Spotify. I know the song. I'm a Stranger Things fan. Any Stranger Things fans in the room today? Okay, we got some. I know for the last year, it's been on the radio playing Time and Time again, so much so that my wife Shelby's like, I don't want to hear it anymore. Turn it off. Some of the words from the song read as this. You don't want to hurt me, but see how deep the bullet lies. Unaware, I'm tearing you asunder. Oh, there is thunder in our hearts. Is there so much hate for the ones we love? Oh, tell me, we both matter, don't we? And if I only could, I make a deal with God and I get him to swap our places. Be running up that road, be running up that hill, be running up that building. This song, it speaks of empathy and tensions between two people who are in a relationship with one another who continue to hurt one another. And Kate Bush suggested if they just could swap places, that maybe there'll be a deeper sense of empathy between the two of them. Maybe that will eliminate any problems that they have. Why does this matter to us today? The truth is, Kate explains something that you and I will either go through, we're currently going through, or we have been through, which is tension in relationships where we hurt one another. It's no secret today that the truth is, you and I, we live long enough, we stay in relationship long enough, we're gonna hurt one another. We're gonna disappoint one another. We're gonna offend and even sin against one another at times, whether sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. And as Kate suggests that maybe we could just make a deal with God and swap places, the truth is we know it's not that easy. But what do? How do we respond to those offenses? How do we respond to those disappointments? How we respond to those things is extremely important to God. So I'm not gonna ask you to raise your hand, but if you've ever offended anyone, if you've ever been offended against, this message is for you. If I did ask you to raise your hand, we would all have our hands raised, and I'll start and lead the way. I've got my hand up because I've been on both sides of that statement before. So as we look at these few verses that we just read in Matthew 18, I want us to look at it. Peter and the disciples had just heard a teaching from Jesus on what to do and how to respond when a brother sins against them. And so Peter then asked this question, hey, Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother who sins against me? Seven times? And we hear that and we think Peter just kind of grabbed this number seven out of the air. But the truth is, in Jesus' day and time, Jewish rabbis would have set a standard for the Jewish people that you are to forgive the same offense in the same day up to three times. So if someone offended you three times, you had to forgive them three times. But on time number four, you had permission not to forgive. That was the Jewish culture. That was the standard for the Jewish people. So now let's go back to what Peter asked. Hey, Jesus, should I forgive my brother seven times? He doubles it, trying to make himself look good. Imagining the other disciples hear this. Whoa, Peter, seven times? That sounds good. Wow, look at you. And look how Jesus responds. He says, no, I don't say seven times, but I say 77 times. Or your Bible may say 70 times seven. What Jesus is not saying is that this is a math problem. That's not what he's talking about. What he's saying is, hey, you are to make plans on forgiving a lot. He's not saying on time 491, which would be a very offensive day. He's not saying on 491, you now have permission, Peter, to not forgive. That's not what he's saying. He's saying don't keep count. And as Jesus followers, we are to plan on forgiving one another with no plans on stopping. Now, about this time, when I hear that, that's really tough for me to embrace. That's a tough pill to swallow. Because in my own head, in my heart, I can justify why I should not forgive the person who offended me, right? Am I the only one? I can make sense in my own head why I shouldn't forgive them for what they did against me. So let me just say, this message I know is an uncomfortable one. I wrote it. I've been uncomfortable all week. But I believe God has something to say. And I believe Jesus knows it's a challenging one. Because if we're really honest, sometimes the journey of pursuing forgiveness can feel like we're running up that hill. See what I did there? So Jesus tells them, I want you to forgive 77 times. And then he goes into a parable that starts in verse 23. And he says that there's a master who has a servant. And this servant is in debt to this master. It's a lot of debt. The debt is so grand, it's so big, so much. The servant cannot repay it. It's equivalent to millions of dollars he is in debt to this master. And the master comes and he says, hey, I want to settle this account. I want to get what is mine. And the servant, knowing he cannot pay it, he pleads and he begs with the master, please don't sell everything that I have. Do not sell my family. Don't throw me in prison. Please show me mercy. And Jesus says the master shows pity. He feels pity for him and he shows him mercy and he forgives him of his debt. Now, shortly after that, that same servant who was just forgiven, Jesus says that he has a servant of his own. And his servant is in debt to him. And his debt is much smaller than the debt that he owed his master. His debt is equivalent to like 16 cents. And when that servant asked for forgiveness, asked for mercy, you would think that he would extend the same forgiveness that he had been given. Yet that's not what he does. He deals harshly with his servant and he throws him into prison until he's able to repay the debt. Well, Jesus says, word gets back to the master. And the master becomes furious with his servant because he knows, I have just forgiven you of this great debt, and then you're in the same position and you don't forgive? You wicked servant, and he throws him into prison until he can repay his debt. Jesus tells this to be a picture of what the kingdom of heaven is like and how God would deal with us as Jesus followers if we choose not to forgive. Now, as we look at that parable, I just told you this parable about the unforgiven servant. There are some things about forgiveness that are true of us today that I want to unpack. The first thing is this. If you're taking notes, the first thing about forgiveness is forgiveness begins with Jesus. Forgiveness begins with Jesus. Now, in this parable, who extended forgiveness first? Was it the servant or was it the master? Jesus seems to be telling his disciples something. When Jesus told this parable, this is pre-cross. He's not yet gone to the cross yet. But he seems to be talking about a forgiveness that comes from the master. I think it's interesting that as we get older, we get wiser, we get smarter, we get stronger, we accomplish some things in life and we think we're so confident in our abilities. There's nothing that we can't do if we don't put our mind to it. And the truth is, we are finite. The truth is, there are some things we just cannot do unless we get the help of someone else. I think about my little girl, Baylor. She just turned 18 months, and this summer has been so awesome watching her grow. And my wife and I, we have turned into those parents. It's like every day she changes. Oh, my gosh, where did the time go, right? And this summer she started walking, and she's using some words, and she's got a little attitude now. She's no longer a baby. She's a toddler. And that's not cute. Let me just say that. And you know what? While she can walk, she can't cook herself dinner. She still depends on mom and dad to do that. She can use a couple words, but she still has not figured out how to change her own diaper. I'll just say that. And for us today, I think that makes sense. Of course, there are some things that Baylor can't do. There's some things that a child cannot do unless mom and dad step in, unless an adult steps in, right? They cannot do something unless you do it for them, right? That makes sense for us today, but we forget as adults, as Jesus followers, we're supposed to depend on Jesus like a child depends on their parent. That actually there are some things in this life that we cannot do for ourselves. So we actually need another to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. We as a church, we believe in a God and his name is Jesus. We believe that he is perfection. He is God in the flesh. What that means is that creator God who spoke words and galaxies and planets and stars came into existence. The God who created everything seen and unseen, Jesus who holds all things together, he put on skin and bone. And he lived a perfect sinless life for about 33 and a half years. Where he did no wrong. He only helped people. He only restored people. He only served people and spent time with those who were overlooked. And he would be arrested and put on trial where he would be sentenced to life on a cross, to death on a cross, excuse me. And it's on that cross with his arms stretched out wide as he hangs between two thieves. He says these words, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And then with his last breath, he said, it is finished. What is finished? the wrath of God poured out on his son, Jesus, for the sins of humanity once and for all. It's finished. It's complete. The Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin so that you and I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus did for you and I what we could not do for ourselves. So I'll ask you the question again. Who extended forgiveness first? Was it me and you? Or was it Jesus? I think this teaching would have come full circle for the disciples post-resurrection. Even the Apostle Paul, he would even write about this in some of his writings. He would say this in Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. There it is. Forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Colossians 3:12-13. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, there it is. Forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. I love how Eugene Peterson says that verse in the Message. He says, be quick to forgive an offense. Be quick to forgive an offense and forgive as quickly and completely as the Master has forgiven you. Woo, now you get to that part and it's like, because the truth is, I don't always forgive as quickly and completely as the Master has quickly and forgiven and completely forgiven me, if I'm just being honest. So what is this forgiveness? Forgiveness begins with Jesus. So here's what I'm saying. The forgiveness that you and I are supposed to show one another, extend to one another, it's actually not our forgiveness to give in the first place. This forgiveness is not from within me that I muster up on my best day. Nope, because I can't on my best day. I don't have it within me. So I must go to a deeper well. And that well being the forgiveness that Jesus exemplified and showed me on the cross by dying for every one of my sins. So now as I forgive you and you forgive me, that's the well of which we pull from. To say that I cannot forgive you for what you have done against me would say that what you did against me was not nailed to the cross. And that's false. Jesus took every pain, every disappointment, every sin, every offense, and it was nailed to the cross and put in the grave. So now, as we forgive as we have been forgiven. Now, today, I'm talking to Jesus followers. Let me just say that. If you have not yet made a decision to follow Jesus, then right now in this moment, you are off the hook, okay? I hope you would make a decision to follow Jesus by the end of this message, and I want to do my best to paint a picture of this scandalous forgiveness that we have been given. But for our Jesus followers in the room today, let us not forget. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That was for me. And that was for you. We are, in fact, forgiven. We are forgiven. And then I want to ask, what does this actually look like, though, in our lives? How do we actually walk this out? Because if forgiveness begins with Jesus, then how do we actually forgive one another? And I want to share the next point with you is, forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is a choice. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 27 says this. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And for the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Now, this is another teaching from Jesus. He's obviously asking his disciples to live beyond themselves yet again. Right? Wouldn't it be just like Jesus to ask them to do something that they could not do without him? So, if we're being honest, this is radical living right here. This is radical living, and it looks different than the world around us. Let's look at it again. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek. Some people will read that and say, Christians are soft. They don't defend themselves. That's not what Jesus is teaching. He's not saying, hey, don't defend yourself in the face of harm. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, hey, don't retaliate. Or in other words, don't be offendable. To strike someone on the cheek would have been the most offensive thing to do in that culture. Let me ask you a question to think on. What is the most offensive thing someone can do to you? Jesus says, don't retaliate, don't be offendable. Now, for me, when someone offends me, I don't want to turn the other cheek. I want to dig my heels in and I want to go back at that person, right? You hurt me, I hurt you. But Jesus says, don't retaliate. Don't be offendable. I started to ask myself this question this week. When did I become so offendable? I'll ask you the same question. When did we become so offendable as Jesus followers? And all of our offenses have become so justifiable. We become offended and we think that we're going to pursue justice, which justice is standing for what is right. Offense and justice do not go hand in hand. You'll never walk justice outright if you are offended because you have bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart. Hurt people hurt people. And this has been true in my own life. I'm offended. I've been hurt. And guess what? I start to think offended. Offense becomes the lens in which I see the world and I see other people. And then if I think offended, I begin to talk offended. And now offense has become the center of my discussions and my conversations with others. There's a teaching in Hebrews that talks about don't let the root of bitterness well up so that others may not stumble. We say, hey, this isn't gossip, but I'm just gonna share my hurt, my offense with another brother or sister in Christ. They ain't got no business knowing that. We end up allowing offense to be the center of our conversations. I know I have. I began to think offended. I began to talk offended. Then I start living offended. I start living from the place of offense. And I forget that I have been forgiven. I have offended the living God, and he forgave me. While we were still yet sinners, Christ forgave, and Christ died for us. That's what the Bible says. So what does that mean? Forgiveness is not trust. I have a hard time with forgiveness at times because I think forgiveness is trust. That's not what Jesus teaches. Forgiveness is not trust. To trust everybody, that's just not wise. I'm not saying you gotta trust everybody. Forgiveness is not taking what has been done against you and saying that it's excusable. That's not what forgiveness says either. Forgiveness says, I'm going to place this offense, this wrong that's been done against me, I'm going to put it in the hands of God who has the right to judge. Forgiveness says, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to dwell about it. I'm definitely not going to go to Facebook and post about it. I don't need friends to call me and text me and get me worked up about it. That's not going to help me. I'm going to take this offense and give it to Jesus, and I'm going to get on with my life. That's what forgiveness says. That's what forgiveness says. And the audacity, and again, I'm in this with you. The audacity to say, I'll never forgive him or her for what they've done against me. And we have been forgiven of much. Our debt, the Bible says we were dead in our trespasses. In that parable, we are the servant to the master with a debt that's so grand we cannot repay it. And he forgave it. And we out here on these streets saying we can't forgive the offense that's been done against us. And I'm not trying to minimize the offense that's been done against you. But I'm saying Jesus paid the price for the offenses that I will commit against you and the offenses you'll commit against me. We are forgiven. When a couple years ago, I was in counseling dealing with unforgiveness in my heart. And my counselor, he said those words. He said, Tevin, forgiveness is a choice. And he said, forgiveness is also a process. And he said, you may have to make the decision every single day to forgive that person, that group of people. You may have to make the decision every single day and choose to forgive them time and time again. It's not just sometimes, it's not just a one-time thing, but you have to make a choice. And then he said, this is how you will know, and I want to share it with you today. He said, this is how you will know maybe you need to forgive all over again, is when you see a picture, maybe you run into that individual, their name comes up, and there starts to be these feelings of bitterness, maybe frustration, even fear, maybe some anxiety. He says, that's a sign that you need to forgive again. And what has this looked like for me? Because again, I said, I don't have it within me to forgive. I can't muster that up. But it looks like me going to God and praying and saying, this is what prayer is, by the way. Prayer is not saying the right things. It's letting God know what's really on your heart and how you're feeling. God, that name came up and I'm frustrated. It's like it happened all over again. I'm reliving it. But I don't want to live in this place. I don't want to have this bitterness in my heart. Lord, I don't know how to forgive them, but I know if you will, by your Spirit, give me the capacity in my heart, will you help me forgive? That's what it looks like. And for a season, I had to get up and I had to repeat that time and time and time and time again. There are still even moments where it comes up and, Lord, I got to give this over to you. I release it. And you may say, Tevin, well, that's not realistic. Well, what's the alternative? If I hold on to the bitterness and the resentment, I know that's not good for me. You know that too. What's the saying? It's like drinking poison, expecting the other person to die. So if bitterness and resentment, if we're holding on to that and it's eroding us from the inside, then that can't be the answer either. That's what the rest of the world does. So if that's not the answer, then let me go the way that Jesus says, which is to forgive, which is to release, which is to choose him. I want to invite the band to come up at this time. For some of you today, your next step, you may have to go to counseling to navigate some of the offenses and the pains that have been done against you. You may need the help of a counselor to navigate and move through that so you can move forward in life. And let me just say, there's no shame in that. There's no weakness in that. For some of you, it may be saying, hey, I'm choosing today in my own heart to forgive that person for what they did against me. And you may never tell that person, but you just make a decision. You choose to do that in your own heart, and you ask God to give you the capacity to do that. For others, maybe you have offended somebody. And for you, you need to go and ask for forgiveness. And maybe you need to call the meeting, call the coffee, and sit down and go face to face with that person. Now, hear me say, I'm not saying as a church we need to be having coffee dates with each other all week. That's not what I'm saying. That might not even be wise, okay? I would encourage you to get godly advice before you go trying to meet with somebody. But that may be necessary. For some of you, it may just be forgiving yourself for what you have done. Forgiving yourself for what was done against you. Because sometimes forgiving ourselves is the hardest thing to do. I can forgive that person. I can forgive them. I can forgive everybody else. But me? No, I can't forgive me. I talked to a guy at the end of last service. And he walked up to me. He said, you probably don't remember me. And I said, I do. And it was back in February. He was back here in front of our offices. Just torn. Just broken. Couldn't talk for the tears coming down his face. He said, Tevin, I can't forgive myself for what I've done. And right back there, today he hugged me and he said, today is the first time I've ever forgiven myself. For some of you, that may be your next step today. Because when we grasp this forgiveness that I'm speaking of that comes through the person of Jesus, it can lead to healing, and unity. In John 17, Jesus is moments away from being arrested and going to the cross. And we have a record, it's recorded by John, one of his prayers, one of few prayers we have from Jesus. And in his lowest moment, moments away from pain, moments away from betrayal, this is what Jesus chooses to pray. He says, Father, I pray for the church, which is you and me. He says, I pray that they will be one. And I pray that they will have this love for one another. I pray that they would bring glory to your name. How we love church, it matters. How we forgive one another, it matters. Because when you and I, when we get this right, when we get forgiveness right, when we forgive one another, the world won't see us, but they will see Jesus. And I know that's tough. I know it's not easy. Because I've been there. I'm walking it now. But what I do know is that it's possible when we turn our eyes to Jesus. It's radical living. And I guess I'm just provoked this morning because I just believe this grace, this forgiveness, this love that has been extended to me, and it's changed every part of who I am. It changed the world 2,000 years ago as we know it. And I believe that same power is just as powerful today. And it can change our world as we know it. I just believe it. I'm convinced of it. I want to invite every head to be bowed and every eye closed. If for the first time today, you have never made the decision to accept, to receive this forgiveness that comes through the person of Jesus. He paid the price for your sins once and for all. There's nothing you can do to earn it. You don't deserve it. It's a free gift. If you would like to receive it for the first time today, on the count of three, I'm going to ask that you lift up your hand. The reason why is I believe when you respond on the outside to what's happening on the inside, it becomes more real to you. So if that's you today, one, two, three, across the room, if you want to receive it, I see your hand. I see you. I see you. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for the hands that are going up in this room. These hands are represent souls, that people that you have created, that you have designed, that you have made in your image. And God, right now, each hand that I see, they are saying they want to receive this free gift. They want to receive the forgiveness that comes through the person of Jesus, which is quick and completely is whole. And so, Lord, right now, will you just rush into their hearts? You are able to forgive all sins. You are able to make us whole again. And so I thank you for what you are doing in their life. I thank you for this moment right now. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Now all eyes at me. For those in the room, rest of us, forgiveness is, it's not an easy journey. It can be like an uphill battle sometimes. But forgiveness is the way of Jesus. Let us forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us. And so I want to ask in the room right now, if you've ever been offended against, would you be so bold to stand to your feet today? If someone's ever offended you before? If you currently have offense in a relationship right now, look around. We're all in this together. Look around. We are more alike than we are different. The Bible says where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. What if the offense that was done against you, what instead of you looking at it as an offense, What if instead you looked at it as an opportunity for radical grace and love and forgiveness? What would happen if we looked at our situations? What if we looked at the offenses done against us? What if we looked at it like that? It won't be easy. But following Jesus isn't easy. But church is so worth it. It's so worth it. There's no other way, I know. He's the lover of my soul. He's the only one that's made me whole. He's the one that gives me peace. He's the one who gives me joy. He's the one that watches over me when I sleep at night. It's Jesus. It's only ever been Jesus. May the way we love and forgive one another may be an example to the world so that they can see the scandalous forgiveness that comes through the person of Jesus. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you in these moments, this great love that you have shown us by the way on the cross. God, in that parable in Matthew 18, we are that servant who had such a great debt. It was too big, it was too large, it was too grand. We couldn't repay it. But you said, I will pay it. I'll stand in your place. And you took our sin and you became our sin so that we might become righteousness, that we might have right standing with you. And so for that, we say thank you. Now, God, is from that place that we stand as your church. As the world may say certain things, that in relationship with one another, we may hurt one another, we may offend one another, we may disappoint one another. But God, those offenses, those hurts, those disappointments are not greater than the cross. Help us to remember that. When we have a hard time forgiving, would you give us the capacity by your Holy Spirit to forgive one another, to seek reconciliation, to seek unity? Because people are watching, God. And we want ultimately more than anything else in this life, we want to bring glory to your name. We want people to see you for who you are. We thank you. We love you. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Now we're getting ready to go into a time of response, and here's what it could look like for you. Maybe you stay in your seat and you just pray to God, to yourself, asking for help to forgive. Maybe you want to step out and find a prayer team member, the lanyard around their neck, and ask for help in praying for you as you navigate forgiveness. For the believers in the room, you may go to a communion station in the back. You may just need to take a moment to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for you and the forgiveness that's been extended to you today. You may need to go and share that offense on the cross. And I'm not saying we share names, but maybe you just need to say, today I'm putting it on the cross. I'm laying this offense down. I'm releasing it today, and I'm moving forward in my life. However the Lord moves you today, respond in these moments this morning.